Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd. فَأَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ يَا حَبِيبَ اللَّهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ يَا نَبِيَّ اللَّهِ وَعَلَى آلِكَ وَأَصْحَابِكَ يَا نُورَ اللَّهِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send peace and blessings upon Nabi Akram, Nure Mujassam, Shahi Bani Adam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his illustrious family and noble companions, alayhim ridwan. Marhaba, marhaba. Ahlan wa sahlan bikum to one and all. Once again, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, you are watching our program called Reformation of the Ummah. What a fantastic and fabulous program with our honorable Ziyad Madani, hafidhahullah, mashallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah, Mawlana Sahib is with me. Tonight's topic is looking back to lift up. Inshallah, looking back to lift up. So, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, this is our discussion as to how do we lift off looking back. So, very quickly, inshallah, with Mawlana Ziyad Sahib, inshallah, we're going to dwell into some situations which have or will affect you if you have not changed these things in your life, inshallah. So, we look into them, for example, not taking responsibility, blaming people, circumstances, destiny, you know. Everyone is at fault except for myself. And when this happens, ya Sayyidi, that's when, you know, a person is unable to move forward in life.
Absolutely. That's actually a huge hindrance of progress
that
people do face in their lives. And that is that they don't take responsibility for their own actions. They don't take responsibility for the past, for situations that they've gone through. And when you don't take responsibility for that which you have gone through or that which you are going through, you're never going to be able to make that any better. So, example, if someone happened to, I'll take an example of a school student that happened to fail the previous year. As long as the student says, my teacher didn't teach well, well, my transport got me to school late, well, this happened and that happened, well, I had something in some issues at home or within the family due to which I fell back. As long as we keep blaming, someone did this, something else happened, my destiny was such that I wasn't supposed to move forward, my circumstances didn't support me. As long as you blame everyone else and don't take responsibility, it's going to be another year of failing, as in the case of this student. However, the failure is not the end of the world. Failure it doesn't mean that you're a failure in life. You failed one grade, but it shows you all of the low-lying areas, that these are areas that I could have done better at. When we start taking responsibility that perhaps I wasn't getting up early enough to ensure that I get to school on time. Perhaps I didn't spend time in the evening with my homework. Perhaps I didn't manage my situation or my time such that I could finish all of my homework for school, plus also see to my family and spend time with my family, etc. As long as we don't look towards this, we're not going to change it. But when we look towards these things that, yes, I made this mistake, I made that mistake, I made that mistake, this is recognizing our mistakes. And recognition of our mistakes is the first step to be able to make changes. Now we say, okay, I was waking up late, now I'm going to wake up early. Okay, I wasn't doing work in the evenings, now I'm going to do it. Okay, during my holiday times, I was just enjoying myself and having fun. Now I'm also going to learn my work. I'm also going to revise my work, etc. Okay, I was giving time to family but not to work, or was giving time to friends but not to family. Now I'm going to make changes. As long as we set our minds that, yes, these were my mistakes, I'm going to make changes, and now let's move ahead with these positive changes from my side. I own it that I didn't do well. I own it that it was my fault, and I'm going to make it better. When we do this, you're along the first step to success. And inshallah, Azza wa Jal, you continue with that mindset and you keep making things better, you are going to succeed. I gave one example of a student in school, but people in work, people in their normal lives, people in their family lives, people in their business environment, all of them, if they think in the same way, let me own my failures so that I can turn them into successes.
MashaAllah.
Inshallah, we'll hit it.
Alhamdulillah, much appreciated, Ya Sayyidi. Actually, growth begins when excuses end. And trust me, there are so many people out there who are tired of being in the same company,
yes,
working in the same environment,
mm-hmm.
they have become toxic themselves because of such environments, you know.
Right, right.
And they often would say that, I don't know what's holding me back. I don't know, you know. I want to make this move. I intend to make this move. I want to change the work that I'm involved in. But like, how do I go about? Any advice, Ya Sayyidi? There are so many people in the situation, whether it's related to work, relationships, failures, as you mentioned, they are consumed in the environment that they are working in.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that for the last 12 years, this was my cycle. I need a change. But something holds them back and they don't have the courage to move forward.
See, just remember that stagnant water attracts insects, it attracts diseases, it attracts moss, it attracts so many things that you don't want. We cannot be stagnant. We cannot be stagnant. We got to keep moving forward. When you see opportunity, you need to see opportunity and seize opportunity as well. And so, if you feel that I'm not telling people to leave their companies, right? But if you're with a company, but you yourself are feeling, I want to move from this company to that company, from this department to that department. I want to go into this business venture that I wanted to do for some time, but I haven't gotten down to it. I want to make these changes in my life. I want to become a person who performs salah because I've been missing salah. As an example. So, when you need to build the courage to be able to take that step. I know that often it's the unknown. And one of the major hindrances here is fear of the unknown. People are afraid of that which they don't know. Just think, if we were within our mother's wombs and we said, I don't know the dunya, I'm not going to go into dunya. When will we have come here? Now we are here and someone's in one house and he says, I don't want to move to another house. I don't know how it will be. He will remain there the day he takes that leap of faith. And then inshallah he'll progress. But remember, leap of faith that people take, it must be calculated. You're taking your chances, you're taking your step into the unknown, calculate it well. Calculate it well, look at the pros, look at the cons, go through everything, ask advice, seek advice, write things down, weigh things out. Inquire as much as you need to, set your mind.
Beautiful.
But once you've set your mind and you know that it feels like this is the positive step, I've done istikhara for example, this is the positive step, I've thought about it, I've sought advice, this is the way forward. Now, forget the fear of the unknown. Mm. Understand that either way, we are facing that which we don't know. Get out of the comfort zone. Take that step, inshallah. And then, trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala will open our way. We have to trust Allah azza wa jal for that which we don't know. We calculate that which we do know. And trust Allah azza wa jal for that which we don't know.
Subhanallah. MashaAllah. Beautiful advice, Ya Sayyidi. Dear viewers of Madinah channel, this is what we need to fathom. And this is what we need to filter into our hearts and minds, that our success depends upon our efforts. Man jadda wajada.
Absolutely.
You know, this is a narration as well. The one who will put in efforts, he will most definitely gain. And don't look back, as Maulana Sahib has mentioned. Whatever the fears are, step out of your fears and rectify the mistakes, the wrongs that were done. Another problem that could be as hindrance and obstacle in the path of many people out there, and that's actually poor control of anger, Ya Sayyid. Families
Allah
break.
Allah.
Allahu Akbar. Many relationships collapse, and not because of nafrat and hatred. Nah, ye baat nahi hai. Is because of poor control of anger.
Absolutely. You are so right. It's not hatred that breaks relations.
And on this note here, I mean, the point is that you want to have a better family life.
Correct.
You want to be the best husband.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody wants to be the best wife. Somebody wants to be the best son.
Mm-hmm.
People want to prove themselves. Okay, this year I could not do much for my dad. But if with things getting better financially, your anger don't come right. Money is there. Paisa to khub jama kar raha hai, lekin gusse ki wajah se he might spend the thing elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That money and shaitan might cause him to abuse that blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the problem, Ya Sayyidi. How can a person suppress his anger, understanding that anger is also part of his success or destruction?
Very true. Actually, people sometimes think, no, relationships have broken down because a hatred has grown. Many a times, it's not that way. Relationships are there. You have relationships between spouses, between siblings, parents and children. You have so many relationships. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We are social beings. We are going to be like that. And people build their relationships. You find that to build relationships, people take years. They take years, one company to the next company, they take years.
Take years.
But in moments of anger, they are able to demolish all of that which was built in years. Sure. Just think of a building as well. To put up a structure.
It's not easy at all.
It's not easy. First, you've got to ensure that you draw your plans. I'm not giving exactly every step, but yes, you're going to draw plans.
With AI, you can do it overnight.
Yes, but it's still, even if you put all the plans overnight, you're not actually going to put the building up overnight. It takes time.
Right.
You're going to have to lay brick by brick before it makes the building.
Allahu Akbar.
But for demolishing the building happens within seconds. That work that took years to put up, within a short space of time, the entire thing is demolished.
Right.
Now just think, that demolishing agent is that anger. That the moment one steps into that fit of anger, they forget all of the struggles it took to put that structure up, to build that relationship, to build the bond that they have built. And within moments of anger, just because of not controlling that anger, they destroy all of that. Therefore, the Holy Quran encourages us towards controlling that anger. Anger is a natural human emotion. We are going to get angry. It does happen. But we need to control that anger. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْرِ and those who suppress their anger, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ and those who pardon people, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ and Allah Azza wa Jalla loves the doers of good, those who do good. We have to suppress that anger, we have to control that anger. So just think that, example, if you do get upset, I'm upset at the moment. But what I'm about to say right now, whatever I'm going to say in this moment of anger could destroy all of my hard work that I put in for so many years. Why should I do that? And then I need to restart the process. So if 2025 was a year of destruction, then understand that it could have been because of anger. If it was a year of building, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Now don't let 2026 be a year of destruction because of a moment of anger. The moment we're angry, someone once taught me very beautiful advice as well, that do not make decisions in anger.
Right.
Don't make decisions in anger. Don't speak in anger. Don't react in anger. Wait. Let the anger subside. Then you become level-headed and then you take your step forth. So,
and the results of this have been seen. A lot of people who give talaq and divorces in a state of anger, the first thing that would leave their tongue when they would come to resolve the problem is that, whichever mufti sahab or mawasab they will meet, they must say, but I was in a state of anger,
It doesn't change
the first
anything.
Thing that they will try to explain is that I was in a state of anger. And this is what anger does, that you was not supposed to take such a big decision of separation in the state of anger.
Absolutely.
You decided to divorce, you decided to leave, you decided to throw away all those children, all those time spent together, just because of anger. And when you come to your normal senses, it's too late. For many Islamic sisters out there, they would not want to go back into that relationship. Many a times it becomes difficult for Islamic brothers as well. Just one example. These are examples we are giving in the state of anger. Anger doesn't solve problems, Ya Sayyidi. It multiplies them.
Absolutely.
It multiplies your worries and your situations for you. So don't think ki gusse ke wajah se mera problem theek ho jayega. That anger will make things much more hard and difficult for us. Mm-hmm. But people should understand, including us as well, that anger shouldn't be with us in 2026. But yes, Maulana Sahib, I also believe that anger is a tool that should be used at times.
Mm-hmm.
It's jais and permissible to use it. And it's also impermissible to use it at various places,
For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes,
being
yes,
upset
yes.
for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a good thing.
Right.
You're rewarded for that. Example, if the deen of Islam is being harmed, this should upset us. If your children are not performing salah, this should upset us. If our family members are moving away from earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this should upset us. So these are things that your anger is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But just ranting in a fit of anger because some need of ours or some desire of ours was not fulfilled, that is unfortunately heading for destruction. Too many times I think anger comes in often because people's pride is hurt. People think a lot of themselves.
And I was just going to come to that because another obstacle is ego and pride, Ya Sayyidi. Ego and
so
pride
true.
Is a huge obstacle. They would not apologize thinking, "Main aisa hi hoon. I am like this, And they would reject advices from seniors, from ulamas and scholars. And the reason for rejecting the advice is also ego and pride.
Absolutely.
But together with that, I can't change.
Mm.
So people who believe they cannot change, any nasiha for such people?
This excuse of me, I am like this. This is how I am. And everybody needs to accept me for how I am. This needs to be removed from us. Understand that it's not just that whatever the characteristic is that you have, everyone has to accept it. This dunya is not like that. This world is not like that. If we have negative characteristics, we need to take steps to change.
Agreed,
those 100%. Characteristics. And this, as long as we say, no, I am like this, everyone needs to accept it. So we are considering that everyone else, how does this make sense? Everyone else needs to change because I'm stubborn and I don't want to change.
So is that not changing because of pride?
Yes, or many a times.
A person may not have pride but just doesn't want to change.
Well, actually, if you consider that I don't want to change, so what is the next step? Everyone else must change. So everyone else must change, I mustn't change. So I'm going to be like this, you need to understand.
Allah
everyone
Allah
that comes
Allah
into
Allah
my
Allah
company, Allah. They need to understand that I just say things like this, you know. I just get upset, then you just have to step away. This is fakhr, this is pride, that I am such that I'm so good, I don't have to make the change. The next person, they are very lowly, then they should make changes, you know, in my company. So this is pride. It is an ego. It's considering that I don't need to change for others. I don't need to adjust myself for others. Others must adjust themselves for me. This is something we need to get rid of. Understand that to progress in the year 2026, to progress in the years ahead, we cannot progress if we're not going to make any adjustments ourselves. We can't achieve our goals. We can't change the world. There's a beautiful statement that was made. It's a saying that goes around in English that yesterday I was intelligent and so I wanted to change the world. Today I'm wise and so I'm changing myself.
That's
so make those changes. If we do have that fakhr, if we do have that pride, understand pride doesn't take anyone anywhere except away from the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal.
And then also in the Quran Pak there's a verse. Allah Kareem never changes the condition of a nation until that nation does not wish to change its own condition.
Yes.
And trust me, any phase of life, in all walks of life, if a person doesn't want to make a change, he will be stagnant. And this is where we started our conversation from, being stagnant. And this is not right at all, dear viewers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then we spoke about pride and ego, Yasayidi. Yet ego and pride delays success. People don't understand this a lot. People feel that, no, he's rich, so he's got pride. Many times we see people who may not be rich, but them not being rich is due to the pride and the ego that they have, because ego and pride stops success, Ya Sayyidi. Whereas humility, humbleness, inkisari and ajzi, it accelerates it. Subhanallah.
Yes.
It takes
who,
it to another level altogether.
Absolutely. You find that humbleness, being a humble person, no matter what field it is that you are trying to achieve success in, as long as you are humble, people welcome you and your steps towards success are laid out for you.
We have seen people who haven't completed matric.
Mm.
Never schooled and matriculated, for example, never went to colleges and universities, but Allah has blessed him with more wealth as compared to the ones with degrees.
Yes, absolutely.
And I have found people like that who grew from scratch to be very humbled, very down to earth, with humility, humbleness. And mashallah, I'm not saying everyone is the opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
There are many people who are rich, also very humbled.
Mm.
Illa mashallah. Allah Kareem make us all humbled in his barga, in his court, Ya Sayyidi. And this is actually the traits of shaitan, dear viewers, ego, pride. This was the reason for his destruction. So if shaitan, as the best example that we can take, was destroyed because of pride and ego, how can that ever benefit us if it never benefited shaitan, Iblis himself? If it never benefited the most biggest worshipper of this earth at that time, then how can it benefit us, dear viewers? Pride has always destroyed people, if not in this dunya, then in the akhirah. In the grave, the hereafter will be barbad because of pride and ego. But in terms of success, it is something that we all need to look into. Another problem that we face in society and people who can't make it. This year could be a hard year for many people because of being soft-hearted without much boundaries. Yes, you know, I am soft. Labbe kehne wala. Ha kehne wala. So you don't know how to say no and where to draw the line. I mean, this is something which I would Request Mahasab, especially on this point here, give us some of the nipples, please.
Actually, you see, we all should be setting schedules, right? And we have our schedules for our days, for our weeks, for our months, etc., that we need to accomplish this, I need to do this, I need to do that. Sometimes you're just so packed. We all have those situations. We're living in a busy world, right? So there comes times that we can fit things into our schedules, and there comes times that we cannot fit things into our schedules. So when we are asked, do this, do that, do this, add this, add that, always saying labbaik, always saying, I'm not saying don't say labbaik, right? It's good to say labbaik and to try to fit as much as you can. But always saying, okay, yes, I'll do so, no problem, I'll go out of my way.
And there's no real intention behind that sometimes.
Yeah,
that's another case altogether.
That's another case. Okay, if there's no real intention behind it, then you could just be speaking aloud.
Allahu
so we shouldn't do that. But where you actually have the intention, mashallah, you have the intention of doing it, but your life is not allowing that. There are only 24 hours in your day. There's no person I found that has a 25-hour day. Everyone has 24 hours. If your 24 hours is completely taken up, then why are you taking on more tasks from other people? Remember, taking on that task means removing one from your list.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, trying to balance between it in such a way that you do all of them at once, even though the hours of the day does not allow it, then what's going to happen? Eventually, you're not going to do that one well, nor are you going to do this one well. So the person who's caught between two things, he does 50% here and 50% there, and nobody is happy. And therefore, we need to know where to draw the line. We need to know how to politely decline. And remember, I said politely. It's important that we are polite even when we are declining someone's request. So if there's a need to decline, not all the time. We shouldn't be people who just are known for saying no. Yes, but at times when it's not manageable, we need to be able to say, I can't manage this, unfortunately. And if someone is just loading onto you, they're constantly being harsh to you, you don't have to keep going back to the person and keep saying, okay, what more do you have to load onto me? How much more harshness do you want to give to me? No, if they are harsh the first time, then you need to know, maybe I need to use a different route, another person in future.
Subhanallah. So, especially by people who have often harmed, you know, we give in to people who often harm us at times. And the reason behind this is because of having no boundaries. Talking time, meeting time, speaking time, doing things for them. And then when the result isn't how you expected it to be. Our expectations are high sometimes. When you do something good for someone and you never get it back in return. So, you know, we land ourselves into problems.
Right.
So, as you mentioned, Mohsab, if your schedule and if your time does not allow, if your money and your pocket doesn't allow to carry out a certain task, because we don't know how to say no. So I think this is where we need to learn and understand that we should not harm ourselves.
Yes.
Islam teaches us mercy. Islam teaches us rahmah. Mm-hmm. Islam does not teach us self-destruction. So you land yourself into problem. That is why the Quran says, وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُوا عَنْ كَثِيرٍ.
Absolutely.
That many misfortune that befalls upon us is not due to anything else, but this that we, our own hands have earned.
Very true.
This is the summary of the ayah. That our own hands have earned the wrongs and the mishaps that happens to us, you know?
Yes.
So we can't blame this on Allah Azza wa Jalla. We can't blame this on taqdeer and destiny. It is our own actions. And this year, for many people, it may have been an unsuccessful year because of these little things that we are discussing here, viewers. They may look small, they may seem to be little, but the impact it has, the power it has to destroy or not for you to move forward in life is quite deep.
You know, Munasab, on the same token, I do want to mention that sometimes some of us might be just feeling like it was an unsuccessful year for me. I want us to have a mindset that is positive. That we don't think that the year was unsuccessful. Yes, if I wanted to accomplish 10 tasks and 9 of them were not accomplished, it seems like it was an unsuccessful year. It will be an unsuccessful year if we do not let this be a learning experience for the next year. That's when it's going to be unsuccessful. Even if we failed on many things. But if we say, I'm going to learn my lesson, and that's what this program is about. This program is about reformation.
Reformation
of
the Ummah.
It's about making things better. And where we made mistakes and where things didn't work out in our favor. If we need to make those changes, we need to make those changes. So recognize the low-lying areas. Recognize the mistakes that we made. People say, you either win or you lose. It's different, actually. It's not you either win or you lose. Change the mindset. We either win or we learn. If we lost, let it be a learning curve. Let it be something that we learn from so that the next attempt can be a success.
Can be a success. Subhanallah. And this is for every businessman out there. People who want to grow their business, they look at the losses.
Yes.
Only when you would learn your losses, you would be able to understand how to fix those losses in order for your business to prosper from where it is.
Very true.
So another thing that we have noticed, and another thing that's very common, actually, when I look at it, it's from a spiritual aspect and from a physical, dunyawi aspect as well. Spiritual aspect refers to our taqwa, piety, and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In any matter, whether it's deen or dunya, if a person is inconsistent, ya Sayyidi, you know, the start is strong, woke up for tajud salah first day, made wudu,
mashallah,
but ended very weak, ya Sayyidi. The next day, kaput. The next day, there is no such thing like that. So inconsistency, you know, good intentions, good intentions, very good niya the person makes, but without discipline.
Yes.
There's no consistency, there's no momentum, there's no pabandi, there's no istiqama, there's no steadfastness.
Right.
We make the niyyah, but there's no discipline in that.
I think, Manasab, the cause of this could be, many a times I do feel that it is this way, is that we start in such a way, we start with that amount of energy that we know we can't finish with. And let's take the example of someone running a race, all right? He's running a race and he knows I'm going to run, let's say, a long distance race, I'm going to run 1 kilometer. I'm saying 1 kilometer for some people, that's short, mashallah, they run many kilometers daily. But let's say, example, 1 kilometer he's going to run. If you are going to start your 1 kilometer at a sprint, it doesn't make sense because you cannot finish your 1 kilometer at the sprint. And therefore, take steps. Take your steps in such a way. Start your first step in the same way that it is possible for you to finish your last step in that. In the same way that I can finish like this, therefore I'm going to start like this. And don't set low targets. Don't say, okay, I'm going to finish dragging myself, so I'll start by dragging myself. No, take steps. But take steps that you can be consistent in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves consistency. We should be consistent.
There's a hadith as well.
Yes, there's a hadith as well.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. There's a hadith of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that أحب الأعمال إلى الله أدوامها وإن قل. That the most beloved of actions to Allah Azza wa Jal are those that are done consistently, even if they be few in number. So even if they be few in number, but you keep at it. Example, you have someone who performs all his 5 daily salah every day. That is beloved to Allah. Then maybe they added on 2 rakat of nafil. And every day they're performing that nafil. That's beloved to Allah.
So there's consistency on the 2 rakat.
Yes.
Likewise, durood-e paak, any wazifa, any awrad.
Yes.
Any dhikr of Allah. If a person starts on a Monday, for example, a lot of people fast on Mondays and Thursdays.
Yes.
And mashallah, I've seen people who have istiqama with this, that years have passed, they have never left Mondays and Thursdays.
Subhanallah.
Good thing, it's good motivation, mashallah, keep it up. But the niyyah for a lot of people, I want to keep it. And the first Monday comes in the josh, we kept it. And the second Monday comes, it becomes harder to keep it. So the niyyat was good. And really speaking, it's recommended to do this for your own health, for your taqwa, your piety, for your sins to be pardoned and forgiven. But as we are discussing right now, many things that we may have failed in 2025, the reason behind the failure of that which we planned was not being consistent. If we only learn the art of having istiqamah upon this, upon any good action, we do have istiqamah. For example, I will say, we all feel this way too. You know, people have istiqamah in committing sins. People have istiqamah in backbiting. People have istiqamah and steadfastness in tale-telling, in gupshup. What do you call gupshup? You know, there's
like
chit-chat. You know, for hours it can go on. We have istiqamah. A night doesn't go by without watching a certain serial, because why? I can't sleep without that. That addiction, that istiqamah on that. But mashallah, the opposite of that, people have istiqamah for 2 rak'ah tawbah salah before sleeping.
Mashallah.
People, I have seen people who say this to me and it feels so nice, mashallah. And as compared to the one who has istiqamah for other things too. So let's become consistent, because trust me, dear viewers, consistency will really make our new year better, inshallah, azawajallah. For every good thing that we have, be motivated. Start anything, inshallah, do not finish it. Many youngsters who were motivated by parents, better go and, you know, start something. Do something. Generate income in the home. And there are many youngsters, mashallah, who started and they at first saw no results in what they were doing. 1 month went, 2 months went, 3 months went. Just down the road from where we are right now, there's a brother who started something a year back. And he continued telling me, but it's not working out. And his mother said, better keep trying. Allah will give. And today that business has flourished.
Alhamdulillah.
Because why? He had istiqama, that is not working out, but let's try. Just keep trying. Do not give up, because the results is left to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Your job was to put in efforts, but the results of that efforts is not in your hands. Don't give yourself the marks after writing the examination paper. It's like you're writing the test and you want to give yourself the marks. No, leave the marks and the results of that effort to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The results come from Him, the efforts come from the banda. So these are the things, Ya Sayyidi.
Absolutely. Munasib, this istiqama point, I think it's so important because many things that we do, and yes, in both ways, yes, when it comes to deen, but also when it comes to our general dunyawi things. Many people have achieved success and many people haven't. And you find that they both started the same thing, they both did the same work, they both put in the efforts. The differences, one of the major differences you see between these two groups, those who have become successful and those who haven't become successful, is istiqama. That one keeps at it even when things become very difficult and the other gives up for some other pleasure or just because it's, you know, it's a bit too difficult. You find, example, a student that studies in school, I'm giving an example of a student again, that he studies in school, he studies in madrasa, etc. He studies continuously, alhamdulillah, he works hard at school, but when he comes home, he tries to do some work. And then the next day, he tries to do some work. Now, when friends start coming over, family starts coming over, he sees something else to do. Okay, today we're playing this certain sport, tomorrow we're playing that certain sport. Once we start making those breaks, and we become, that is the beginning to inconsistency. Once we become inconsistent, we are going to lose the plot completely. And so I'd advise that among our resolutions for this year of 2026, that is around the corner, is that I am going to be consistent. I'm going to have istiqamah. Whatever good habit I've set, I'm going to have istiqamah. Maybe it's just a diet. You said, I'm going to diet in this certain way. And again, don't start the way you can't finish. So if you're going to diet, then diet in a way that is manageable. Continuously. And then inshallah Azza wa Jal have istiqamah upon that. So it could be your diet, it could be your exercise, it could be your salah, it could be your relationship with your parents, it could be your business ventures, it could be so many things. But set your mind from beforehand, and we're going to set our minds inshallah from beforehand as well, that before this year starts, we're not going to start off very well and end very badly. The intentions we have, and the motivations that we have, and as we step forward, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, we are going to ensure that we set the first foot well, and our last footing is going to be as good as the first footing. We're not going to have to give up along the way. Keep at it. Keep at it. No matter what. Inshallah, Azza wa Jal, with bit by bit, you'll be successful. When I started studying in Darul Uloom, my father gave us an example in Jamia. He gave the students an example. He said, just imagine, if every day someone just takes one matchstick, like one toothpick, you can say, and throws it behind him. But every day he throws only one. It seems so insignificant. But if he keeps throwing it, and he keeps throwing it, and all of the years pass, and so many days pass within each year, one day he'll turn back and he'll see a mountain of matchsticks. Why? Because every day he did that little bit. He didn't leave a day out. Every day he did that little bit. So like that, every day I work at it. Every day I work at it. We don't see the growth. But growth is happening because we are consistent. Think of your children. You don't realize your children have grown up so big because every day you see a little growth. But it's consistent little growth that makes it such that one day you look at them and you say, Subhanallah, Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed me with a child who has become a strong young man, Mashallah. Become a strong young lady, a firm person. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Because it's bit by bit.
Bit by bit, Ya Sayyidi. MashaAllah, beautiful, wonderful examples you have given. And I have seen the results of consistency as well, many aspects. I'm sure the viewers who are watching right now also have seen this in your families. For example, I met a father who was paralyzed, but he would drive car. He was one side paralyzed, and with his clutches, he will go into the car, and he says, Tabriz Bhai, every single day for the last 2 years, raining, storming, whatever the weather would be like, I, in this condition, would take my son for hifz class.
SubhanAllah.
I had istiqamah on this matter, through the mercy of Allah. I would drag myself to the car because I'm the only one that could drive in the family. And my son would say, Dad, I'm going to grow soon. I'm going to drive. He says, better, no problem. Right now, you are my responsibility. I'm going to make sure I take you to your ustad, to your teacher.
MashaAllah.
And he says, in 2 years, my son became a strong Hafiz al-Quran.
SubhanAllah.
Consistency, dear viewers. If the father had given up halfway, was this going to be possible?
Absolutely.
It was going to be difficult for that child to study. But SubhanAllah, the fact that he taken his son was already showing us consistency is very important. Yes, we need motivation. We all need motivation. But trust me, dear viewers, consistency will beat motivation anytime.
Very true.
Anytime, any day. In fact, every single day, it beats motivation. because istiqama is on another level altogether. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Allah Kareem grant us tawfiq to repent, Ya Sayyidi, and to fix these mistakes, because we all hope for a fruitful year, we all wish for a good year, but we are not making any changes. If the niyyah is there to change, then automatically you're going to work towards a better year, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla. A very important question, Ya Sayyidi, comes that since we are coming to the end of the program, and inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, we're going to break for a beautiful kalam in the next few moments, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla. What practical steps can people take to spiritually change things next year, inshallah? From a spiritual point of view, what can we do?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. This is so important. I love that Manas have posed this question, because many a times when we make our resolutions, our new year, we're coming into a new business year, a new schooling year, etc., we tend to plan and make resolutions regarding everything, almost everything, Alhamdulillah. But people tend to forget the spiritual aspect. So spiritually, how am I going to grow? You think of, okay, I'm school children are going to a new grade. Madrasa children are going to a new grade. They're starting a new juz of the Holy Quran. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Someone is moving to a new job. Someone's moving, you know, promoted in some position. But spiritually, how am I going to elevate myself in this year 2026? By the end of the year 2026, where do I see myself spiritually? So when you see yourself in there spiritually, so now you're going to work yourself towards that in a spiritual way as well. So I think importantly is our connection to the guidance that Allah Azza wa Jal has given us is what's going to grow our spirituality. And what is the guidance that Allah Azza wa Jal has given us? It's the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah
SubhanAllah.
So in this year, I am going to grow my connection with the Holy Quran. And how do we grow a connection with the Holy Quran? It's by reciting the Quran that Allah Azza wa Jal has given us, ensuring that every day I recite it with consistency. How much is manageable? With consistency. Amir al-Sunnah gives a beautiful advice that every day recite at least 3 ayat. Just 3 ayat of the Holy Quran is not difficult at all. 3 ayat of the Holy Quran at least. But with translation from Kanzul Iban Sharif and with the tafsir. So if you're reading in English tafsir, you can read Miftahul Ihsan that has been written by Mufti Abdul Nabi Hamidi Sahib. If you're reading in Urdu, easy tafsir as well, Suratul Jinan, that is written by our Mufti Qasim Sahib. And there are various other tafsir as well. So those who are more in-depth in knowledge, then you can read other tafsir as well. But 3 ayat every day with the translation and the tafsir. Wow. And you just read those 3 ayat, try to understand it, and I'm going to implement what I've learned from this ayah in my life. Mm. So just think that in that way, if you are doing 3 ayat every day, 3 ayat every day, by the end of the month, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, you've read so much, by the end of the year, you've read so much, and how much of a better person you became. Then the ahadith of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the sunnah of the beloved Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I'm going to try to implement this sunnah, that sunnah, that sunnah, that sunnah. There's so many sunnah. Whatever I start today, tomorrow when I'm implementing the next sunnah, I'm not going to leave the previous sunnah. Why? We spoke about consistency, isn't it? So whatever good we start, inshallah, we're going to be consistent. Take care of our salah, guard our salah. Nek a'mal, we spoke of it yesterday as well. Nek a'mal, pious deeds booklet. Every night I'm going to do muhasabah. I'm going to check on myself. I'm going to watch my akhlaq. I'm going to watch my character. And good point, for this year, grab onto someone who's close to you. It could be your spouse. It could be a sibling, it could be a friend. Grab onto them and just let them know that you're going to watch me. And when I step out of line, you're going to remind me. That's all. If so they tell you, okay, you do the same for me, Alhamdulillah. If they don't say, no problem.
It's actually beneficial constructive criticism.
Yes, that when I step out of line, you're going to tell me, you know what, you behave in that way, but Allah Ta'ala does not like that we behave in that way, behave in this way. If you take that partner, it could be your spouse. It could be your friend, it could be your brother, it could be your son, it could be your father. But they're going to be your partner through the year. But you watch me. When I step out of line, you guide me again. Bring me back, because you might see something that I don't see. Inshallah, Azza wa Jal, with that partnership, with that partner, you're going to move towards success, inshallah.
MashaAllah. Kya baat hai Madine ki. And I think many parents out there would always want the best for their children. And they will rectify them and guide them in the same way as Maulana Ziyad Madini has mentioned, subhanAllah, but children out there take it in the negative and they will, you know, retaliate. But it's never done with the niyat of ever putting any child down. Every parent out there, even they have, whether they have one child or many children, it happens that sometimes the children may feel that my parents are a little bit more biased towards one and less loving towards the other. But remember, dear viewers of Madini channel, as children, our job is to make our year better. and respect our parents. You're going to respect them, and through their barakah, through their du'as and the blessings of taking care of your parents, Allah Kareem will make your year better for you, inshallah.
Amen.
This is the niyyah behind it. But what Mansab did mention was very, very good, that find a person who you trust, and the niyyah behind this friendship is that he rectifies the mistakes you make.
Mm-hmm.
Such a partner is very hard to get, because a true friend is he who finds your faults. And a fake friend is he who will motivate you upon the wrong that you have done and not rectify you for it. But a true friend is he who will see the fault and bring it to your notice and will want for you to rectify your faults and your mistakes. Alhamdulillah, I think every person should have at least one dose like this in his life.
Yeah.
At least one, because one can only be your true friend. We have so many friends, but if you don't have a friend who can rectify you and bring your faults to the table and discuss it to make you a better person, then we need to find a true friend.
I wish that for viewers of Madin Channel and us as well, that true friend can be our spouses.
Kya baat hai?
If you can have a relationship between yourself and your spouse like this,
yeah,
inshallah, you will have a very successful relationship and successful marriage. Helping each other to be together in Jannah.
Kya baat hai, Madin, dekhi. Subhanallah. And this beautiful thing that you have just said, now Mansab takes us straight to Ashfaq Madini Sahib, inshallah.
Mashallah.
To listen to his amazing kalam, inshallah, until we return, dear viewers. Sallu ala al-Habib.
Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Bakare khash hairanam aghithni ya Rasulallah. Bakare khash hairanam aghithni ya Rasulallah. Parishanam aghithni ya Rasulallah. Parishanam aghithni ya Rasulallah. Nadaram juz tu malja mawae nadanam juz tu mal jaye nadanam juz tu mawae tu hi khud saaz o samanam aghithni ya Rasulallah. Tu hi khud saaz o samanam aghithni ya Rasulallah. Parishanam aghithni ya Rasulallah. Ya Parishanam aghithni ya Rasulallah. Shahabe kas nawazi kun tabiba chara sazi kun. Shahabe kas nawazi kun tabiba chara sazi kun. Marize darde isyanam aghithni ya Rasulallah. Marize darde isyanam aghithni ya Rasulallah. Parishanam aghithni ya Rasulallah. Agar rani o gar khani ghulamam man ta sultani. Agar rani o gar khani ghulamam man ta سلطانی دیگر چیزیں نمی دانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ دیگر چیزیں نمی دانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ پریشانم پریشانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ
یا رسول
پریشانم پریشانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ
گناہ درجا نماتش زد قیامت شولا می خیزد گناہ درجا نماتش زد قیامت شولا می خیزد مدد اے آب حیوانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ مدد اے آب حیوانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ
پریشانم پریشانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ
چمر غم نخل جا سوزد بہارم را خزا سوزد چمر غم نخل جا سوزد بہارم را خزاں سوزد نریزد برگ ایمانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ نریزد برگ ایمانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ
پریشانم پریشانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ
یا رسول اللہ
پریشانم
یا
اغفنی یا رسول اللہ
چمہ شرفت نہ انگیزت بلائے بے اما خیزد چمہ شرفت نہ انگیزد بلائے بے اما خیزد بجویم از تو درمانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ بجویم از تو درمانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ
پریشانم پریشانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ
پدر را نفرت آید پسر را وحشت افزاید پدر را نفرت آید پسر را وحشت افزاید
تو گیری زیر دامانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ تو گیری زیر دامانم اغفنی یا
رسول اللہ پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ گدائے آمد اے سلطان با امید کرم نالا گدائے آمد اے سلطان با امید کرم نالا تہی داما مگر دانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ تہی داما مگر دانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ رضایت سائل بے پر تو ہی سلطان لاتن گھر رضایت سائل بے پر تو ہی سلطان لاتن گھر شہابہر عزیز خانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ شہابہر عزیز خانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ پریشانم پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلات و سلام علیک یا سیدی یا رسول اللہ وسلم علیک یا سیدی یا نبی اللہ. Welcome back dear viewers. We were listening to this beautiful kalam by Ashfaq Madani hafizahullah. Allah Kareem bless him and all the viewers who have watched and shared tonight's program as well. We say shukran to our special guest who has been part and parcel of this program. Before we end dear viewers, remember you are not defined by your worst mistakes. You are defined by what you learn from it. Mm-hmm. Allahu Akbar. These are very important words, dear viewers. Carry lessons forward, not pain. Don't carry your pain with you. Carry the lessons forward. Carry humility, not guilt. Carry your niyat and your intention, not regret, dear viewers. Be safe in these final days of the year. Protect your iman, your character, your heart. And inshallah, azza wa jalla, your new year will be fruitful. Madina, Madina. Until then, keep smiling, keep reciting durood and salawat upon the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Keep looking back with honesty. Jihad, dear viewers, live your life and your zindagi with a purpose. And inshallah, azza wa jalla, you will surely reach your maqam and your destination. We're looking forward to seeing and meeting our viewers of Madinah channel, inshallah, azza wa jalla, through our program, by our program, Reformation of the Ummah. Until then, recite durood and salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah, Ummah. Reformation of Ummah.